Bridge Center for details, or call 1-888-SAFER-RIDE.
Where can you get big savings on the best paints and stains money can buy?
Where to get it? Where to get it?
At your Sherwin-Williams store. Now through Monday, save 30% on all paints and stains.
Where to get it?
Save 30% on Super Paint and Everclean. Save 30% on Cuprinol and Minwax stains. And save 30% off all in-stock wallpapers.
Where to get it? Where to get it?
Everyday low price paint not included. For big savings, hurry to
Sherwin-Williams. Where to get it?
Does this ever sound like your alarm? It's Rise and Shine, miles above your head.
Good morning, Atlantis. You've made all of us down here in this great nation very proud of the fabulous job you and your international colleagues have done during this mission, and we look forward to bringing you home today.
Well, good morning, Houston, and good morning, America. Thanks, Bill. We're looking forward to coming home. It looks like a great day.
Shuttle comes home Saturday morning, and once you're up, when you're way, way up, you get news updates and sports with the NBA playoffs.
Final game three, Rockets 118, Jazz 100. Guys, you really need to be back home by Sunday afternoon for game four.
Yes. Thanks, Bill.
But the astronauts hope they don't find in their breakfast what one woman allegedly found in hers. It was in her Wheaties box. Years ago, you often found a prize inside a box of cereal. The woman who opened a box of Wheaties in Pleasant Grove, Utah, found something she didn't expect. Instead of the breakfast of champions, there was a box full of hallucinogenic mushrooms. The woman called the cops, who did some checking, discovered a package containing two boxes of Wheaties had been delivered by FedEx by mistake. The box had been shipped by someone in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and police say they're going to return it to the sender in hopes of making an arrest. This is ABC News.
When your allergies are so bad you can't even breathe, how long are you willing to wait for your allergy medicine to start working? Why wait? Use Afrin nasal spray and you'll breathe freely again almost immediately. If you want to clear up congestion, you should know that Afrin works faster than Nasocrom, faster than any allergy tablet. When allergy congestion makes you miserable, get Afrin. Afrin works faster. Use only as directed.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Chuck Sievertson.
The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Have you noticed that someone close to you is gradually losing their memory? Doctors at research centers across the nation are currently evaluating a medication that may help people who have memory loss due to a stroke. Evaluation and treatment by board-certified physicians are available to a limited number of people who are in reasonably good health but have memory loss, disorientation, and/or confusion due to a stroke. Call toll-free 1-888-806-6922 for the physician nearest you. If you're selected for this study, all testing and all study medication are available to you at no cost. Remember the requirement: in reasonably good health, but have memory loss, disorientation, and/or confusion due to a stroke. Call toll-free 1-888-806-6922 for more details. Once again, that number, 1-888-806-6922.
Today's Levitt's has America's largest selection of quality brand-name furniture with up to 300 rooms to choose from. And now, for 4 days only, this Friday through Monday, there's no down payment, no monthly payment, and no finance charge until January 1998. Plus, you can save 25 to 40% off original manufacturers' prices on sofas and sofa love seat groups. Sofas start as low as $397. Two-piece sofa love seat groups as low as $597. Choose from 50 different fabrics. Hurry in while quantities last. And most items you can buy today and have in your home tonight. Plus, get hundreds of items on sale during the Great American Furniture Sale at today's Levitt's. You'll love it.
Minimum purchase $500. APR may vary and range from 18 to 24%. Minimum finance charge up to $1. Finance charge will accrue, but interest will be credited if paid in full by the January 1998 due date. See store for details. Offer ends Monday.
Thank you. with you for the next hour or so. The Memorial Day weekend has officially begun, so do whatever you do, memorially wise. We did have Chris on the line who wanted to talk about nails, because in the last segment we were discussing the fact that the odd cultural tendency towards some folk to lavish unimaginable amounts of attention on their fingernails. I can understand somebody going in for a little buff. I can understand somebody having enough money, so much money that you just, you know, money just gushing out of every single pocket that you want to go have somebody else take care of your fingernails. But what I don't understand are the people who develop 6 to 7 inch talons on their hands and paint them and stud them with small jewels. It's a way of telling the world that you, I can't imagine what possible job you could hold down with something like that, let's put it that way, unless your life consisted of tapping one button and one button only. Well, that's pretty much what George Jetson did, if I remember right.
Well, the resurgence of Morse code clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Again, a very popular thing, too. Yeah.
All you need is one.
Yeah. You're right. Well, actually, no. The new Morse code clubs, as I understand it, allow for, how should we say, for rubato, for dynamics. It's no longer just on and off. That actually the pressure that you put on the key has a lot to do with it. See, Morse code in the old days was just simply on and off, dot, dash, right? Very unexpressive.
You had pretty much, yeah.
Right.
No. Come to the hotel, stop.
Stop.
We right. have a gun, stop.
Right.
We want 25 grand, stop.
Stop. Right. But nowadays, the new Morse codes, I understand, allow you to press, they're pressure sensitive, those keys. So you can put more feeling into it, I understand.
We're at the hotel. Yeah. Please, send money.
Right.
I see. Okay.
Yeah,
like stop.
That. Dynamics. It's dynamic Morse code. And of course, if you're just tapping with the end of a 7-inch nail, you can't really do that. I can't think of any culture, despite what we were thinking of, where men have been encouraged, or anybody has been encouraged, to have 7-inch long toenails. It's simply impractical. Even the aristocracy, known for lolling about on silken pillows.
Well, they had someone feed them, so they didn't even need their fingers.
Right, but then again, they had long fingernails, they had long beards, in most cultures of aristocracy, the thinner, whiter, and weaker you were, the better, because that indicated you weren't a peasant who had to do any sort of manual labor. But even then, they drew the line at developing 7-inch foot toenails. But it's just simply not practical. I can't see, for example, fighting would be different. Fighting among men would be different if you could use your toenails, as you can imagine. I mean,
well, wasn't it always kind of sissy to kick someone?
Precisely. So if in the Old West, for example, one of the signs of being a true wrangler was to have long 7-inch toenails, and for whatever reason, I don't know, who needed spurs?
It would have made kick the cows into shape.
It would have made sense in those days, actually, to have toenails, because if your spurs fall off, what do you do without your spurs? Well, you just simply take your boot off and you start stabbing old horse until she goes. Right. So it would mean that instead of the nasty pointed toe boot that we now associate with the Macho West, boots would have had a platypus-like bill on the front to accommodate the extended toenails.
You have to be careful, though, because if you stabbed your horse too hard, mm-hmm. it would die. So right. there'd actually be skill involved.
And the same skill that goes into pressing that new Morse code key. Right?
True,
so
true.
There's a whole long cultural connotation. And in those days, when a man took off his boots, it would mean he was ready for fighting.
No, there you go.
It wouldn't be just two guys settling up and rolling up their shirts.
Yeah, you wouldn't
sleeves.
See that anymore. All right,
no.
buddy.
No.
Hold on, let me kick up. Oh, I got a knot. We got to hold on. Mm-hmm. You know.
And we were talking about fist fights earlier, too. Again, well, maybe I just hang around the wrong crowds. I mean, my shirt sleeves at present are rolled up. Right? Let me roll it all the way down here. All right, I'm rolling it down, and I'm buttoning it. Now, let's see if this impedes my swing in any way. No. So there's got to be... So the only reason you roll up your shirt sleeves has nothing to do with your ability to swing. It just must be some signal.
You didn't want blood on your shirt.
It must
or
be
your forearms.
Well, it must be some sort of signal.
I think it was preening. You know how like some animals will have fluff up a mane or mm-hmm. elephants will bring out the ears. I think for men, rolling up the sleeves was the psychological, because you stared at the guy while you were doing it.
Right.
Look, buddy, I'm going to kill you. You know.
Right. And you showed him your knotted forearms. But
yeah.
just as some animals in nature's kingdom are able, for example, to inflate bladders and parts of their body in order to make themselves more attractive or more fearsome.
Or Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah. It would be very, very nice to be able to inflate, for example, your biceps or your forearms simply by closing your mouth and breathing into a tube in the back of your mouth. And then you'd have guys in bar fights. They'd be down at the Caboose, for example, taking off, trying to psych each other out, rolling up the shirt sleeves, pumping up their biceps, and the fights would never happen because at some point, the other guy wouldn't stop and he'd just blow his arm out. Just bang!
You know, we used to think about what if you had muscles in your hair. Mm-hmm. Think about this. You know, like, oh, hey, there's an attractive chick.
You could comb it without even touching it.
You just flex your hair and it would all go into shape.
Comb it without touching it.
Yeah, there we go. Bye, his hair looks nice. And you'd be, you know, and when girls walked by, you'd have to hold your hair in, you know, so it didn't fly all over the place. You know, so if you had that and you could puff up, you could, like, get your hair to stick up on end, puff up, you'd look like a big ogre.
There's much redesigning of the human musculature that could be done for that.
I'll work on it.
For example, if you could flex the muscles of your back in a much more aggressive posture, you could knock Marv Albert right in the teeth.
If he was trying to clamp
on your back, you could just flex like that, and all of a sudden he'd be on the other side of the room with his epiglottis dented.
I thought it'd be fun to have spikes. So when I got mad, spikes would come up on my back. Urgh.
Ooh, I like that. Brian from Minnetonka.
Hi, James. How you doing today?
Just fine. So
I have an observation based on, I guess, my observation of the ladies that I've seen with the long fingernails. It seems to me that the longer and more spectacular, or actually the more gaudy, in my opinion, the nails, the more worthless the woman. There seems to be a direct correlation there.
What do you base this on? Actually,
just the women I've seen in society over the last year or two, and how the tendency has gone toward just the really long and ugly and gaudy nails. And they just seem to be kind of I've just equated the two: the longer and more gaudy, the more worthless the woman. So.
And by worthless, you mean? I mean, I see where you're going here. I'm just curious about your definitions. By worthless.
Well, just based
shallow,
on
an idiot.
Shallow, don't seem to be the type that actually would ever exert themselves to do any kind of manual labor of any kind, and they just, I don't know, it's just been my observation.
Well, it is one of those things that just makes you wonder what practical use these people have for their hands.
Yeah, exactly. They tend to be maybe once in a while cashiers or something like that.
I mean, I can see some guys doing it, for example. You know why? Because if you look at your average remote, the most complex remote I have has about 100 buttons, all of which are the size of a grain of rice. So if I had one nail that was 7 inches long, I could probably manipulate the buttons on that remote. As it is, I stab them with my little, meat sausages here, and I end up blasting myself off to the B section and getting the surround sound channel when I really want to go to channel 9. So that's the only practical application I can think of.
Okay, well, there you have it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Brian. Bye-bye. And Chris from Shoreview. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, James.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I don't know if I'm right or not, but I believe we were students together at the University of Minnesota in the late 70s.
Did you beat me up?
No, I wasn't. Oh, okay. The guy who beat you up. I was the guy in your Milton class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would that be Professor McClure?
That's the one.
Wonderful old man who I remember correctly, taught us all the nasty words in Thomas Marvell.
Exactly. And who recently passed away.
Yes, unfortunately so.
But I was listening to you on the way home tonight. I was over at my parents for dinner and listening to your stories, and I had to call in. Do you remember David Hale and Shakespeare?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
And Charlie Sugnet?
Yes, yes, yes. Great guy. Charlie, who was sort of the time, kind of the Alan Alda of the English department.
Exactly. Yeah, he was the kind of, he was a bit oily, wasn't he?
What was the first line of Paradise Lost?
Oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You got me. Stuck.
Call me Milton.
I remember the first line of Dante's Inferno, because I remembered it because I had to read it in the original Italian, which isn't too far from contemporary Italian. And it was in the middle of the journey of our life, in mezzo del cammino de nostra vita. But the first line of Paradise Lost, I can't remember, and I think it is this. It's something that I use frequently when I'm writing about my dog. A phrase that I like to use is that I seek to justify the ways of dog to man. And it's a dyslexic reference to something in the first big chunk of Milton where he says, I seek to justify the ways of God to man.
Man, you're absolutely right.
But I'm not sure if that's the first line, because I haven't really picked up Paradise Lost any time recently.
Do you think anyone does after you take the test?
No. But aren't you glad you read it?
Yes, yes. I'm glad that I read. I'm glad I read a poem with a title like Samson Agonistes.
Some of that stuff was truly gruesome. Just absolutely. I mean, some of the Restoration poets. Yesterday was the birthday of Alexander Pope, and I thought, well, maybe we'll get out the Rape of the Lock and read a few quatrains for people. But then I thought,
We want people to listen.
You got to have it in context. You have to understand that it's a wonderful takeoff on the literature of the time and blah, 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 blah. And it's a rarefied world you live when you're in college, when that stuff has incredible meaning at the time. Not only your grade in your life.
You bet, it meant everything.
But you're steeped in it, and it's incredibly important. It's the only time in your life that you can live a life so devoid, so untethered to actual economic reality, that it's a joy, and I'm glad I spent it the way I did. Now, what did you do with your English major, Chris?
Excuse me, hon. I eventually went back to graduate school. Now I work down at the state senate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, doing what?
I am
grading papers.
No, I'm a fiscal analyst for the criminal justice committee down there.
Ooh.
So we do cops, courts, and prisons. We got out of session Monday night.
Right.
But I really miss the days when I had a dog-eared copy of Jean-Paul Sartre's Nausea in my back pocket.
It was the only time in your life when you could actually impress women by carrying around a book called Nausea.
Yeah, right. And I was a bartender as well for 4 years. I was a bartender / novelist.
Oh, where were you a bartender at?
The President on Lake and Nicollet.
Never visited the place.
Well, the city foreclosed on it in 81, so.
What happened to the novels?
Novels downstairs.
Mm-hmm. In the drawer? Well, as the Russians say, writing for the drawer.
That's right.
Is a noble, noble profession.
Yeah. But I do remember you, and I followed your career. I've wanted to call in a number of times.
So. I appreciate it, Chris.
And I'm listening to you whenever I can.
We appreciate it. And did I hear you refer to your wife in the background?
Yeah, she just came in.
Well, then, good. I hope we have two patrons of the diner in the household.
Yes, you do.
Good man. Well, we'll talk to you at some other time, Chris. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I went to Brown.
Yes.
We didn't have Paradise Lost. We had Paradise Misplaced.
Yes.
Right. We didn't get the good classics.
You could afford it, right?
No.
We have to do this now, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Step away briefly for a second. But we have Gary and Blaine who wants to talk about, well, Jeremy's note to me here reads, beating people out. So apparently,
oops.
Gary's going to talk about thrashing people out of the closet or perhaps beating people up, right?
I'll change it.
No, I like beating people out. That's even worse than being beat up. Beat up, you got somewhere nice to go. Being beat out is sounds as though, well. James Lilac's rambling as usual here at the diner on KSTV AM 1500.
Something big is happening downtown. Rudy Luther's Downtown Pontiac is launching in the summer with an Urcoa giveaway. Check out the Urcoa pontoon boat trailer and 50-horsepower 4-stroke Mercury motor on Downtown Pontiac show floor. Stop by to register and see the Pontiacs, like hard-to-find Grand Prix, exciting new Sunfires, and the performance pontoon from Urcoa, built with the best materials and state-of-the-art technology for over 26 years. Check out Urcoa's website at pontoonboats.com or visit Don's Sportland in Breckenridge or Mora Marine in Mora. Parents, you know the importance of buckling your children up when traveling. The best choice for 4 to 8-year-olds is a federally approved car booster seat, which makes a safety belt fit them better, giving them better protection from injury in the event of a crash. The Minnesota Safety Council, Precision Tune, and KSTP AM 1500 are sponsoring a year-long campaign to raise awareness for these booster seats. For free information, stop by your local Precision Tune Auto Care Center, call the Minnesota Safety Council, or call us here at AM 1500 KSTP. Instant information available at your fingertips. Call CityLine at 645-6060. No waiting for what you want. Call CityLine 645-6060. Use your touchtone phone for instant news, stock market reports, weather, sports, entertainment, and more. Over 2,000 categories of information on CityLine 645-6060. CityLine is sponsored in part by Menards. Whether you're building a home or just remodeling one room, Menards has everything you need and more at the area's guaranteed lowest prices. So if it's building materials, new cabinets for your kitchen, or bath floor coverings, plumbing supplies, or any item for that do-it-yourself project, including the tools to get the job done, make Menards your one-stop headquarters for all your do-it-yourself home improvement needs. It's not who you know, it's who you call. Don't get stuck on hold. Call CityLine 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 645-6060.
52 weeks. That's one entire year you won't pay a single penny. So relax and save more at Slumberland's huge Memorial Week sale. You'll save on everything in the store, like a luxurious 100% Italian leather sofa from Natuzzi for an unbelievable $5.99, our lowest price ever. Smooth, clean lines at a price you can't ignore. Plus, stunning savings throughout the store. And we're saying yes, yes, yes to no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 1 year on qualifying purchases. That's right. Get what you really want on sale and don't pay anything for one entire year. Incredible prices on Bassett, Broyhill, Sealy, Simmons, Serta, Lazy Boy, and more. And remember, everything's backed by Slumberland's exclusive 100% total satisfaction guarantee. You'll get more. You'll save more at the once-a-year Memorial Week sale at all Slumberland Furniture and Clearance Center stores. Saturday, Sunday, and Memorial Day, 10 to 5.
Slumberland Furniture, 12 convenient Twin Cities locations, plus St. Cloud, Rochester, Wilmer, Mankato, and Amory.
Driving out of town right now.
Floor it.
Lilac's back here at the diner, and I think Jeremy is onto something. We should replace being beaten up with beaten out, and I'll tell you why. Because for the last, 50, 60 years, people have said, man, I was really beat up. And when you're beaten down, of course, you want to go home, right? You've just been, the world's been pummeling you. You just want to go home and hide, beaten down. Replace it with beaten out and beaten in. Man, I'm beaten in. The world, what a week. After a week like this, I'm just completely beaten in. I'm just into yourself.
Just in your, God.
And if we say this enough, if it's like attempting to insert the word contrude into the American vocabulary. If we just say beaten out and beaten in as though it's not unusual, eventually people will think...
We'll pick it up.
People will think they're doing it wrong, and they'll think it's hip to do it our way.
We'll do it.
One word at a time, buddy. I want to just launch a few words into the English language.
Contrude, which I am now using in my book. I've added it to my lexicon.
When I'm 80 years old, if the nurse parrots one of them back to me, here, Mr. Lilacs, you're looking very beaten in today. Has the world been contruding with you? Here's your pill. Gary from Blaine.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed your story about getting beaten up there. I thought I'd call in and weigh in on my eighth grade experience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was out here at the Northdale Junior High here, and there was a fella by the name of Brian Olson. And the fight got started by a third party. And I didn't even want to participate in it, but here's...
You're just watching.
Well, yeah, they kind of got started with a third party, and they kind of pushed both of us into a fight.
Well, how did this happen? I'm confused.
Oh,
You've got some little some guy on the sideline who's goading the two of you to beat each other up.
Yeah,
or
right.
Out. I'm sorry.
And so we ended up meeting about 3-4 days later and stuff like that. And this guy, I was impressed by his style. You know, he was very nice and very much of a gentleman about it. And you know, did it the old-fashioned way about putting the dukes up and everything like that.
That's unusual for junior high.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. I actually admired the guy afterwards. But
did he have a second?
What's that?
Did he have a second? Somebody to hold his coat and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we both had corner men, I guess, or ringside men and what have you. And, you know, if anybody else was to jump in, then it'd be a free-for-all, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this guy asked if I was ready and everything, and I said yes. And then he commenced knocking me around a little bit there. And after he spent a few minutes there working me over there, and then he asked if, are you finished? Have you feel like you've accomplished something? And... that was the end of it there, and then we went on to be kind of respectful with each other.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to be. After you've loosened a few teeth and
well,
bloodied
you know,
some lips, you respect each other's adversaries.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. I went on, trained, started getting in more in athletics, went to one of the martial art things, and then ended up in the Marine Corps for a while, you know. So kind of based on, that little experience there, so it kind of did pay off for me in the long run.
And but, the story doesn't end with you hunting Brian down several years later, face paint all over your,
Yeah, right.
And in the middle of the night and slitting his throat from behind.
Right, but I think it has something to do with, being up in the northern suburbs, you kind of have more cleaner attitude about things, and, people didn't pull weapons or chairs or...
Well, I'm guessing this wasn't the early 80s. When was this?
Yeah, well, it would have been, probably around in the 70s, late 70s.
So chivalry was still there during the 70s.
Oh, yeah. But I really did appreciate that style, and it did kind of teach me a lesson. I kept my mouth shut, and you know, didn't get in trouble after that. You know, had to think twice before I did things and said things. And then I went on to respect people a little bit more. And
what was the casus belli here?
The what?
What was the casus belli? What was the reason for the whole rumble?
Oh, well,
lost in the mists of time, or can you remember it?
Yeah, I had a friend. His name was Eugene. He lived around the area, Coon Rapids here, and he was just trying to get a reputation behind me, you know, because I never did have a reputation for punching anybody out, you know. So he was trying to do me a favor by getting me a rough, tough reputation somewhere along the line. And, you know, it didn't work. I had a reputation for being easygoing and, you know, getting along with just about everybody. And it was just that little eighth grade experience there. And, you know, kind of gave me a good attitude adjustment. And, you know, then I kind of incorporated that in treating other people decent afterwards. And,
when I was in junior high, nobody ever attempted to spread the news that I wasn't a good wielder of the fisticuffs, because it was apparent from anybody who looked at me that I barely had the strength to open a Fritos bag. There was no doubt. I mean, I was before my adult metabolism kicked in, I was a pudgy little kid, pudgy little cheeks, stupid little cat eye glasses. You know, I was not the sort who was going to swagger about and...
You were pinched by your aunts, weren't you?
Yeah, incessantly, up to the age of about 17 or so. They could pinch one cheek and dangle me, just pick me up off the ground. That small a child. So, no one ever attempted to spread rumors. However, you know what Eugene is doing now?
Yeah, I have no idea. He's probably in jail someplace nowadays. Most of the guys I hung around with are either in jail or, you know, they're no longer alive nowadays. But
it's quite possible with a name like Eugene, he was attempting to deflect the beatings that he felt coming his way simply by virtue of his name.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a hellion when he was coming up, you know.
Well, with a name like Eugene, you got to punch your way out of life. my friend, the Giant Swede, has a theory that every time he sees a pro football player with a very silly name, that the reason they're in pro football is because they were taunted incessantly as a child for having a silly little name and just simply had to learn how to carry themselves and deck people whenever they said his name in a sing-song, taunty fashion.
Right. Also, a question about where you get that little piece there about have you had sex or something like that. Where does that come from?
Well, that's the nosy lady. She's here every night. She sits in the back booth. She drinks too much.
Did you have sex today?
Thank you for waking her up.
Oh, there, yeah. Sits there, drinks too much coffee with like 6 or 7 cubes of Domino sugar per cup.
Did you feed the dog?
Yes, we fed the dog. And she can't keep her nose out of other people's business. But that's her. That's
okay.
She's generally here, and generally the drunk just shows up on Fridays. But every single night she's back there pounding back the coffee.
Okay, you got good strong coffee there at the diner?
Oh, it's the best.
We'll stop in there sometime.
Please do, Gary. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Talk to you later. And Ted on a car phone checking in. Hey, Ted.
I heard a couple of topics that piqued my interest tonight. One was about Star Trek, and the other one was about getting beaten out, and I can wrap the two together in one call here.
Or in the case of my life, getting beat up or getting beaten out because I was a Star Trek kid.
Well, because of being a Star Trek fan myself, my high school senior year, one of the art projects we had was to be totally creative. So I built a little spaceport complete with little spaceships the size, you know, smaller than micro machines.
Mm-hmm.
And the spaceport itself was too big to fit in the assigned locker, so I would take it home with me after school every day.
Sure.
And you got the football players and the baseball players and the like out there. And one of them had the nickname Kegger, and he weighed more than one. He was well over 250 pounds, close to the 300 side.
Mm-hmm.
And he was joking around, and I was getting ready to load this thing up and take it down the hallway, and he just gives me a good shove, and it drops down the floor, and pieces are shattering and flying over the place. Now, this guy, you know, I've always avoided a fight, and this time, they invaded my space.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, turned into the alien. I jumped up, I pushed him, and he went across the hall into the lockers, and I'm the 98-pound weakling. Everybody's jaw just dropped, and he walks away from it, but by the time I get back out to the parking lot, his friends have already goaded him into saying, you're not going to let him get away with that.
Oh, you know you did.
So I was taught sign language. He grabbed a hold of me, gave me the opportunity to take my glasses off myself, and then proceeded to push me up, face up against a handicap sign.
Where is he now? I'll take care of him.
He's actually the football coach for the hometown.
Not a problem. I eat football coaches for breakfast.
But then the Star Trek itself, you were talking about you don't like reading because you could be reading some good literary stuff. The ones that I usually don't read them either, but what I usually find interesting are the ones where they deal with timelines and where they deal with history that they've already established or that's already been established here, and trying to make sure that the continuity flows between the TV shows that they've already established
I agree.
Actual historical timelines. Those intrigue me. The rest of them, I can leave them.
If they've got numbers, I don't read them. I generally read the ones that have one-word titles that are what they call canonical. They're the books that are official, right? Now, all the ones with numbers are little stories that are not official stories, because as far as I understand, the Enterprise had a 5-year mission, and there's about 78 years worth of stories out there. So I'm guessing they made a few of them up.
Well, there were two captains before Captain Kirk, so there's an additional 10 years before Captain Kirk.
Right, there was Pike, and there was, oh, please. Who was before Pike?
I've lost that one. I'd have to go get the new
Concordance.
Early Voyages comic book series in order to be able to look that up, but then they,
April,
then course,
Robert,
then
Robert.
They got the, then, of course, they got the interim with Alpha, Beta, C, and D.
It was Captain April. Captain April, then Captain Pike, and then Captain Kirk.
Yep, and then, let's see. The only problem is that when you get into stories that deal with the timeline that they've established, mm-hmm. once they establish a new, something else in their Star Trek history, their Star Trek timeline, movies that come out can be disappointing. I mean, like First Contact, there was a First Contact little novelette that was very intriguing to read, and I was rather disappointed because they had to screw around with that and change things all around in order to make it fit the movie.
Well, actually, one of the best Star Trek novels he ever wrote, and I can't believe, I'm talking Milton 20 minutes ago, now I'm talking Star Trek. The book was actually one of the canonical books, the canon, the true story, the true timeline. And it set down the beginnings of the Federation as happening when a Vulcan ship wandered into Earth space.
Yep.
So that's why at the end of First Contact, I know exactly who these guys are going to be, because I read the book 9 years ago. So I'm sitting there with my arms folded across my chest saying, I knew that was going to happen.
And plus they still had to mess around with it, because that survey, there was another story that followed that one up. It dealt with... I'm failing here. What was his inventor? What was the inventor's name of the warp drive? Zefram Cochrane.
Zefram Cochrane, right?
They brought him back out of the. They meshed Captain Kirk and Captain Picard together, and Zefram Cochrane bounced back and forth between the two with that with that entity on the asteroid
right.
that had rejuvenated him.
Right. Which
so
which
they established an additional timeline beyond First Contact.
Oh, Lord.
And they had to screw around with that one and just ignored entirely in order to make it fit to the movie screen.
And, of course, the entity on the asteroid who rejuvenated him was actually inhabited the fleshly form of one of the daughters from Father Knows Best.
I didn't know it was from Father Knows Best, but...
Trust me.
I'll trust you. I'll trust you.
I got to run, Ted, but thanks for calling.
So do I.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Who was that, Jeremy, who rang the phone?
Some guy just wanted to know if we were talking Star Trek. I said yes. He said okay.
Well, I'm glad to
do it. I'm not sure if it was a complaint or a query, so...
No, it's neither one or the other. When we return here, I have in my hand a packet of Pop Rocks, which I thought had disappeared from the face of the earth. But here they are.
Let me go get a can of Coke. Let's blow something up.
Yeah, like my head. My head will be blown out. The ingredients are, of course, first one, no surprise, sugar. The second ingredient is lactose, milk sugar. The third ingredient is...
Death.
Corn syrup, also sugar. The fourth ingredient, artificial flavor, followed by
sugar.
Artificial color, then...
And spices.
Sugar and spices, right. Natural flavor, natural smoke flavor. So
does it say may contain one or more of the following?
No. Oh. That's
my favorite.
They're pretty much certain what's in here. There's
a whole list of possible side effects, may cause diarrhea, nausea, memory loss.
When taken with Alestra, yeah.
Yeah.
And the last one is my favorite, processed with carbon dioxide. You just often don't see that in a foodstuff. Processed with carbon dioxide. 34 calories per serving, and no fat, no sodium, no nothing, but plenty of carbon dioxide. So when I come back, I'm going to put this entire thing in my mouth and attempt to speak to you coherently. James Lilacs here at the diner, experimenting on KSTP AM 1500.
Welcome to the Computer Minute. Ready to see the person you're conversing with? I'll tell you how to do that right after this.
Well, I'm here with PC Modem, the computer genius from CompUSA, the computer superstar.
Bob, you look and sound exhausted.
I spent the entire day walking around CompUSA, and that must be the biggest computer store in the country.
I know, but that's a great new computer system you got there.
Thanks.
After looking at over 5,000 products, how'd you finally decide?
Well, one of those great CompUSA salespeople took care of everything.
It looks like you got some hot new software, too.
Uh-huh.
Since I am a genius, I can teach you how to use it.
Not necessary, PC. I took a computer training class at CompUSA. I'm all set, really. Anyway, I got to go pick up my new suit right now. With all the money I saved thanks to CompUSA's guaranteed low prices, I got a new suit for my big meeting later over at corporate.
What kind of meeting?
It's about my new promotion.
Congratulations.
Well, after I got our company signed up as a corporate customer at CompUSA, my boss, Mr. Biffman, was very impressed. Uh-huh. And now our sales are going right through the roof.
Gee, CompUSA's really changed your life for the better then, huh, Bob?
Yes, thanks to CompUSA, I can hold my head up high and say, I am somebody!
With over 5,000 computer products at guarantee low prices, call 1-800-COMPUSA or shop our website at www.compusa.com.
You're back with the Computer Minute. How do you turn your computer into a video phone? Just get a package that includes the hardware and software you need. Plug the color video camera into your computer's parallel port. Connect the microphone, load the software, and you're all set. Use your computer and modem to dial a number. Note that the person on the other end also needs video phone equipment and a modem. Then, smile for the camera, speak into the microphone, and the video phone package does the rest. It sends digital audio and video over the phone line, giving both parties an on-screen view of the other person. You can even make internet video calls. So comb your hair, straighten your desk, and get ready to see and be seen. And join me next time for another Computer Minute.
Not long ago, in the Land's End catalog, we turned a Land's End knit shirt inside out to show you the quality built into it. Now, we're turning ourselves inside out at the Land's End Inlet with a knit shirt event that includes one of our most popular knits, our ticking striped t-shirt for women, 100% cotton and yarn dyed. In the catalog, it was $20 and worth it. Now, only $12. You save 40%. And there's more, including hemmed and banded mesh shirts, solids, and stripes. It's all first quality overstock. Not every style, but plenty to choose from. Now through Wednesday at the Land's End Inlet, the outlet where you have an in.
And where can you find a Land's End Inlet? In Richfield at Lindale and 494. In Minnetonka at the northwest corner of Hopkins Crossroads and 394. And in Woodbury, in Tamarack Village, just off of Radio Drive.
Coppertone Guy here on Miami South Beach with lifeguards
Tom
and
Nancy.
All these gorgeous bodies to watch over. Anyone ever asked you to rub oil all over them?
This is an oil-free beach.
Coppertone oil-free sunscreen, however, is permissible. It won't clog pores and make citizens break out.
Okay. Anybody ever asked you to rub Coppertone oil-free all over them? Tommy?
Well, there was this one guy.
On South Beach, great-looking Coppertone oil-free skin is the law. Next stop, Malibu.
He's only as directed.
You don't know what it's like to look at the old thermometer in the wall, a little weather-beaten. It's a Dr. Pepper thermometer. Says 10, 2, and 4 on the bottom. And from here, it looks like 62 degrees. At this time of night, tells me that things are moving our way. Dave Dahl's weather is sitting right in front of me, and that's where it will stay. Let's go to Louis here. He's kind enough to call. Louis from St. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Mr. Lilacs, I haven't called you for a couple of weeks.
Well, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was telling your associate there, you've had a bad day today.
How so?
Well, you got a bad pizza, you had to do a lot of work.
Yes, sir, that's true.
All right, we got the solution. I was telling them, you need one of them sledgehammers, about 10 wooden stakes, and a giant cross. When you come into the house, you know, your home, just put that cross out in front of you. Your wife will be, she won't bother you anymore. Okay, now then, pizza. Don't buy any more pizzas then. All you need is some French bread, ketchup, and a little oregano. Put it in the oven. Tastes the same after you take a bite out of it.
No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid there's some special spice that they put in it that makes delivered pizza taste different than anything else.
MSG.
And I've just become, well, I know that. It's something other than that. It's natural flavor, Jeremy. I've seen the big tubs of natural flavor you got back there in the kitchen.
I worked at Little Caesars. It's called spices.
Yes, spices. So okay. There's something special they do to it. Plus,
I would then have to get the little tiny doll table that they put in the box, you know? The middle they put in the middle of the pizza in the box. I collect those doll tables. See? I've got about 7,000 of them right now. I want to build a tower of them like that one they have in Watts, California. Just my own little church, my own little steeple for my neighborhood made entirely out of the doll tables that come with pizzas.
Okay, but why do guys roll up their sleeves when they fight? Well, you remember, did you see that movie Hard Times there with Bronson?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I took a girlfriend to that on a first date back in high school. There wasn't a second date.
Remember they used to take off their shirts and they put their hands up and turn them so, like, you know, they didn't have anything hidden, see?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this goes back. I was reading once in the Bible, this dictionary. Remember Joseph, his coat? It wasn't that it was such a colorful coat. It had long sleeves. That mm-hmm. was a sign of authority. If you had short sleeves and a short haircut, you were going to work.
Look, they made a musical out of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and but it was the long sleeves. If you had long sleeve coat, that means you were the boss.
Uh-huh.
All right, one other request. Have you played Stompin' at the Savoy at all? I don't know if you have. That was the old one with Benny Goodman or Woody Herman and stuff. That was supposed to be a traditional one of the old days.
Actually, that's not on the old jukebox.
No, it's not, huh?
Well the next time the guy comes in, he doesn't take requests, but I'll whistle it to myself and see if he gets the idea.
Hey, he owes me a favor. We'll see what we can do.
Right. One more thing. The only thing I remember about this course in Milton, the capital of hell was Pandemonium.
Pandemonium, yep. All demon land. All demon town. All demons 24 hours a day.
Okay, I'll talk to you again.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Down to hideous ruin and perdition they fell. And yeah, there they built Pandemonium. Jim, the cabbie.
Jim the cabbie wandering the streets of Burnsville.
Ooh. Mean streets of Burnsville.
The dangerous, mean streets of Burnsville. Mm-hmm. how is the Catatonia doing tonight?
Well, you know what? I drove it here tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
And I may be sleeping out back of the diner with the dogs, too. Therein hangs a tale, and I think I'll save that tale for Tuesday when we're all assembled in greater numbers following the holiday.
I
have the feeling that the Catatonia will provide me with yea, many more a tale over the next coming few days.
I see. The Catatonia was acting catatonic by the time you got to the station?
I'll give you the short version of it here. I had it towed in. I gave it to the garage. The garage now hates the car as much as I do.
Understood.
The mechanics gave me looks that were both pitying and hateful because I was the one who had brought this upon them. They couldn't figure it out.
You destroyed their faith in themselves.
The manager came out shaking his head, and he started to swear, and he caught himself. And I said, no, go ahead. I understand the need. Go ahead. So they couldn't find anything wrong with it. They know there's something wrong with it, but they can't. And I even wore shorts when I went to pick it up, just in case that was the determining factor.
Right.
And the best part of it was when they finished it up at this place, it's their habit to wash the car before they give it back to the clientele.
Right.
While they were washing the car, I was looking at an exact duplicate of the Catatonia in their parking lot that somebody else had brought in for renovation.
Right.
And I noticed that that person's rear antenna mast was only halfway down, as is the antenna mast on the Catatonia.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much gunk down there that it won't go down. Right. And I thought, gosh, I hope the antenna mast is all the way down before they roll that thing through the car wash. Manager comes out and says, we'd like you to bring you the car back on Tuesday because we just busted your antenna off in the wash. So the car actually came back worse from the shop than it did when it went in.
Understood.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an idle question, has anybody replaced the ignition control module?
That's one of the things they're looking at. But again, they've looked at it from every possible angle. They think that something shakes loose or some gremlin gets in and yanks out.
I told you,
wire.
Butter.
Yeah.
The other possibility is that the ignition or the crankshaft position, the crank
is contruded with. I know. Believe
me. No, the crankshaft position reference. If it loses that, the car can't run because it doesn't know when to fire.
Well, that's possible. These guys are the pros. They have every single service manual put out on this car since it began. So, and they gave it every single test. All they have, I have to bring it back again, and they have to catch it in the act.
On a side note of cars that are temperamental and have strange habits, a friend of mine used to have a GM product. It was an Indian symbol.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know which car I'm talking about?
An Indian symbol.
An Indian symbol.
That would be the...
the Ford Tomahawk.
The busted treaty.
He had a Firebird.
Uh-huh.
He had to use, in order for this car to start, whenever it acted up, he had to use the three words that women hate most. The
come on, baby.
Word, the S word, and the C word.
Ooh.
In that exact combination. Upon uttering that incantation, the vehicle would magically start.
Uh-huh.
I didn't believe him one day. He tried 9 different incantations.
All involving some sort of sailor-like profanity.
Well, it started out as mild Boy Scout profanity, but it got worse. He finally said, "Now you don't believe me? Watch this." He uttered the incantation, and the car fired right up.
That's not the case with this car, because I guarantee you, I've used every single possible combination of those words.
But you haven't. You haven't hit upon the proper incantation.
No, you've heard about the monkeys typing, eventually getting to Shakespeare? Sitting
right.
In that car seat, I have said every single possible combination of those words. There's not a curse word left unturned. There's no combination.
Have you started going into foreign languages?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have. I think I was doing Sri Lankan curse terms, and I know those from hanging around curry houses. So, yes.
Well, perhaps you didn't try the ultimate curse and to threaten it with demolition.
That's next.
Friend to drive the noisy lady home.
Yeah.
I use the BFH metaphor,
mm-hmm.
and I have invented 3 or 4 categories of BFH yet to be devised.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I get to the second or third, most vehicles will start. When I get to the fourth, they all figure out what I'm going to do.
All right, I'll give it a try. Stay tuned on Tuesday for the next update.
Thank you.
Talk to you later, dude. Bye bye. BFH, Big for Schlugener Herodin. That's got to be what he means. John in New Brighton is next, followed by the Pop Rocks Experiment here at the Diner with James Lilacs on KSTP AM 1500.
I've been talking to you for a year and a half now about how Minor Ford is taking extra care of their customers. Well, it's May again, and just like last year, I'm happy to tell you there will be no hype, no hoopla, and no sale. See, Minor Ford's prices are consistently low, so there's no need for you to shop for a car or truck on a day that a dealership has decided is a sale day. They're serious about their commitment to follow-up, service, and all the added value you should expect when you purchase a vehicle. What you will find during the month of May is what you find every day at Minor Ford. Straightforward pricing, the Minor Ford security blanket, which includes things like a 72-hour exchange privilege and 6-month, 6,000-mile extended service contract on every used car or truck with under 100,000 miles. Once again, there will be no talk of sale, and you'll be treated with the respect you deserve. Yeah, Minor Ford's open Memorial Day, all day, but for your convenience, not because they just have to sell a vehicle that day. The difference is the minor details. Minor Ford, 694 and Silver Lake Road, New Brighton.
In the late 1800s, the mail moved up and down the Mississippi on steam-powered paddle wheelers. The captains of these riverboats had such rivalry, they would occasionally race between Minneapolis and St. Paul to prove who was the better riverboat captain. More than 100 years later, we're recreating this tradition with a few twists.
Why don't you drop by the Yacht Club?
Sunday, June 1st.
The great race festivities begin with an authentic New Orleans brunch. Of course, featuring mint juleps and live jazz on board the Anson Northrop and the Harriet Bishop. Then it's time for the great race between Captain Dave Dahl, KSTP meteorologist, and Captain David Brower, morning radio host on AM 1500. Join us for the great race down the mighty Mississippi, with $70 from each ticket being donated to the St. Paul Mounted Police. For information and tickets for the great race, call the Capital City Partnership at 291-5600. 291-5600.
Honey, did you get your math done? Did you feed the dog? Call Grandma? Did you have sex today?
No!
How do you bring up the subject of sex with your teenager? Do you slide it innocently into the conversation or set them down for the big talk? How you decide to do it is up to you, but it's got to be talked about. Talk to your teenagers before they have to talk to you.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and Minnesota Enable.
If I hadn't gone elsewhere, I would not appreciate this company so much.
This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and I overheard the young woman making the statement to Ray, one of our salesmen. I introduced myself and asked her if she would explain what she meant. Well, she said, we just bought this mattress for $499, and what we saw elsewhere that could even begin to compare with your mattress cost $699 and $799. We hear it all the time. People who shop and compare, feature for feature, dollar for dollar, sell themselves on our mattresses. And that's why our business continues to grow. Why almost half of our business is from referrals. We keep our promises. We deliver the savings, and we do everything in our power to make sure you are satisfied. People can't afford to be fooled. You either have it or you don't. The Original Mattress Factory.
In St. Paul, Apple Valley, and check out their newest store on Penn and 66th in Ridgefield, 641-7576.
Put that near the Coke, I'm telling you. It's bad news, buddy.
I haven't had these in perhaps 20 years. It feels like ants are blowing up in my mouth. It's really peculiar.
Put them in your mouth and get real close to the microphone so we can hear them popping. Sounds like your tongue is frying. This is your tongue on Tabasco sauce.
Wow.
It just keeps going.
It's not stopping. I feel like my dog when I gave him a gummy bear to eat.
You better be careful if you go home and kiss the wife. She may get a little of that.
John in New Brighton.
Does the diner serve Rondo or Simba to wash that down with?
I've got a little Diet Coke here. Hold on a second. Whoa. Good Lord.
Like Rondo? I haven't heard of Rondo in years.
It's like it blew up in my mouth. Wow. Now I understand where the Mikey rumor came from.
Your head.
Ooh. Anyway, John,
get him up.
Please. You were calling about fights. I'm attempting to put out this conflagration in my mouth here.
Well, it's embarrassing, but in 1977, Gene Roddenberry came to speak in Menominee, Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin Stout Field House. So, because we love Star Trek, my best friend and I, Wes Long, went to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And we. That in rapt attention, he showed a blooper reel, and we're too scared to ask a question. But at the end, everybody was asking what the best Star Trek episode was. There were conversations around us, and finally, Wes turned to me and said, "Well, your favorite one is Piece of the Action, right?"
Yeah.
And I said, "No, it's Who Mourns for Adonai. I know it's stupid, but I like Leslie Parrish."
Who doesn't?
And he said, "Well, that's gay, being adolescents, a term of hatred."
What a strange gown that she was wearing, man.
Well,
I think
but hot.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Well, you really only like Michael Forrest in that. And it's like, yeah, give me a break. And so he kind of pushed me. I pushed him, and he went into edge of a bleacher with his back. So being very angered, he went to kick me in where men aren't supposed to be kicked. And I dodged, kind of bending to get away from that. He missed my groin, but right in the stomach.
Wait.
So I'm down on the ground crying in a severe state of contusion, no doubt. And, you know, his back is bleeding, but he can't reach it because it's right in the middle.
Or beat out and in.
Right.
A teacher, Mr. Kapsikavich, from the previous year, boys, what are you fighting about? And had actually Wes by the scruff of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And we told him, and he just started laughing. He said, it's Gamesters of Triskelion, and walked away.
Of course.
It was a fight about Star Trek.
The real answer was the Doomsday Machine. So I would
mock time.
I would have loved to punch out the teacher myself. This is great. Two fights that we've heard about tonight in high school that started out over Star Trek, which was supposed to bind us all together into a peaceful, loving vision of the future. Instead, we're punching each other out over whether our models get destroyed or what the best episode is.
It's true.
Yes, well, the Gamesters of Triskelion had another different female costume going for it, too, a very silvery one that sort of lifted and separated,
lifted
shall we say.
Lifted and separated, yeah. And big hair.
Yeah.
Big hair.
Lots of big puffed out hair. Yeah. Well, I thank you for chipping in your two quatloos. Talk to you later, John. Bye-bye. And Rich. Hello, Rich.
Yes, James.
Hey.
I'm still holding out for the exorcism.
Hmm.
And I think that you're going to have to bring out of retirement a venerable priest who knows the Latin, preferably a Jesuit or a Christian brother, they being the most militant.
The Christian brother.
They're doing wine now, aren't they?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I should pour wine over the thing. That probably would do it.
Well, I'm holding out for the exorcism. I'm convinced that that's the only answer.
Well, what the guy told me today was that he actually, they spoke of the car as though it were a living thing, or as though there was a spirit of a living thing resting within it. And he said that once they find this thing and flush it out, I mean, I had a vision of some black shadow skittering away into the shadows after they found it, and the mechanics chasing after it with brooms and beating it. So you may be right. There may be actual spiritual possession that go on here, but if I can find one of those good old hardline priests to do the symbol over the thing, that might work.
Well,
you realize I'm speaking, trying not to speak with my tongue because my tongue doesn't work anymore.
Well, if it starts talking like this, you're well on to knowing that that's the problem.
That's true. Either that or I got it on the wrong radio station. Well, again, stay tuned on Tuesday. More tales will follow from this weekend, I'm sure.
Oh, either that or you're going to show up on Art Bell with your Ford Catatonia.
That's entirely possible.
East of the Rockies, your car problem.
That'll probably be the case because the car won't work tonight, and I'll be reduced to talking over Art Bell for the next 3 or 4 hours. We'll talk to you later, Rich. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's true. I'm going to give you one more attempt here to hear my tongue. Hear my tongue roar. That's like sizzling bacon. Now let's try it with some Coke.
You're going to blow up.
Well,
those rumors aren't rumors. It's true.
It's unbelievable. It reacts and it explodes in your mouth. It's incredible. And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all.
I warned you, but no, you never listen to me. Never listen to the chef you do, huh?
I should know when it comes to putting things in your mouth.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You're coming over to my place on Sunday, however.
You bet. I'm bringing the loose meat.
And I'm feeding you for a change. And for the rest of you, I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Drive safely and all that
God
stuff.
Bless.
And remember the veterans. And anybody else you want to think about this weekend, it's the one to do it. James Lennox here at the Diner on KSTPAM 1500, St. Paul, Minneapolis. See you on Tuesday. Bye.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Don't eat raspberries from Guatemala and Chile, say New York State's
rocks.
Health Department. They could give you diarrhea and upset stomach from carrying a cyclospora parasite.
Keep in mind that you could be consuming raspberries in a restaurant as well, and they could be, in fact, from Guatemala or Chile. So I myself would ask my waiter or the chef where those raspberries came from. If he or she could not tell me where they came from, I would choose another dessert.
Chris Smith.